This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 1st of January, 1960. The title of this lecture is Responsibility. This lecture is 52 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
The skull. Oh, wow, I better not read this. Well, I'll just post it and won't read it, okay?
No, read it.
Says to L. Ron Hubbard, in behalf of the peoples of this planet, as a token of our gratitude for your tremendous gift to mankind and in celebration of the consolidation of Scientology throughout the world this past year, we present this globe to you the first day of January 1960, the central organizations of the world, and they are listed. That's very lovely, and that's very unexpected, and probably completely undeserved. You got a Congress yet?
Yeah.
Well, hello.
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 Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Remember okay, Mama?
Yeah.
You know, I think they still talk about that in this hotel. Well, that's a real nice globe. That's a real nice globe. But I think this globe had better go in my Washington office, don't you? All right. You really can't tell how glad I am to be here. You would be utterly amazed how no-havingness the world at large is. You'd just be fascinated. It's just one large area of no-have. And in America, we have so much, and there's so much we can do with it. We just had a government. Well, I will pass over that nostalgic moment. It is, however, rather typical of free peoples that their governments stink. It is. But government should be less, not more, and this is no third dynamic speech I'm giving you here. It probably had to be edited off because I mustn't be untrue to the United States government. I have to support them abroad. People come around and say, why did they do this? You know? Of course, my private opinion is, God knows. And I'd say, well, actually, the American people are one thing and the American government is another. And the American people are just as much at odds with their government as you are with yours. And they say, oh, they are? That explains it. But we have a lot of fun, in America, wondering what we're going to do with our production and things like that. Well, this problem is not extant abroad. They wonder how they're going to do without their production. And about the only little cross you have to bear is the nonsense that comes out of the State Department and so forth. For instance, I wonder if you know that all the United States government down here, Christian Herter, and the rest of them would have to do is just say to England and France and Germany and the rest of them, we want to sign a treaty by which an American passport would be a free passport in your country equivalent to citizenship, and an American citizen would be bound while in your country by your laws. We want to sign this as a treaty. Here's the line. And they'd say, you do? And that'd be that. See? Sounds funny, but we're in exactly the same position the Roman Empire was in a couple of thousand, 2,500 years ago. Who wouldn't be a citizen of Rome? And although there were a few countries around saying, well, maybe we better not have very many citizens of Rome around because there won't be much left of us, they never said it very loud and they never really objected. The Roman civilization covered Earth. This is the next civilization after the Roman civilization to cover anything. And we're the proprietors of that civilization. They wonder down here in the State Department how they're going to handle international relations. Well, that's the trouble, is they think they're international relations. There aren't any international relations. They're just Americanism. Countries have even stopped defending their own cultures. And it'd be a wonderful thing, if an American passport was as free as an American is made in any country on earth. But the American passport is not as free simply because somebody in the State Department hasn't found out yet. We actually have Earth squared. There it sits. It isn't mine, it's yours. And wherever we are, whatever we're doing, it's too bad we're not backed up by the government, too. Well, enough of that. It's a bit of worry on my part and the rest of your part. There are several of you who've been abroad recently. And it's quite interesting, quite an interesting experience. One of these days, why, you'll find Chicago everywhere. Or New York. But not, please, California. That's my Iron Curtain. No kidding, I'm very fond of California, and someday I'm going to take it back. Actually, California is doing marvelously. Okay, let's get down to something here that's very important, shall we? Let's get down to some technology. Now, I was going to save all this technology until day after tomorrow. Do you think I ought to do it?
No.
Because if I saved it till day after tomorrow, you know what would happen. I wouldn't have time to cover it. So if I give it to you right now, all in one package, it'll take me the next 2 days to explain it. Okay?
Okay.
Would you like that right now?
Yes.
Let's get this off to a high whine. Like the turbojet racing cars you were telling me about 30,000 years ago. If anybody restimulates on that one, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I had an old friend once back in Athens who had a slave. He had a slave, and this slave's name was Diogenes. And the slave used to live in a barrel, and there were very many stories concerning this slave. But actually, he was trying to find, according to modern books, an honest man. And he used to go around in daylight with a lantern looking for an honest man. Now, because of the length of this microphone cord, I can't pass amongst you. I might find an honest man. Certainly, in the last 2,500 years, there's been no better opportunity or no group more eligible to deliver one up than this particular group right here and now. None more eligible. But on the other hand, I might pass amongst you in vain. And that would be very sad. That would be very sad. But the next Congress, I will be able to pass amongst you and find nothing but honest men and women. Because actually, it's as much as your life's worth not to be honest. If I ever run into this friend of mine, like I lately found Karl Marx, if I ever run into this friend of mine, I'll tell him that Diogenes can come back and start looking, and maybe with some success. Because processing today is fundamentally fundamentalized and basically basicalized on just this single horrible fact. Them as ain't honest won't get cleared, bud. What do we mean by honesty? In this particular regard, we mean somebody who has nothing to hide. Every pre-clear you have lost, that is to say, you didn't finish his intensive series processing and go through the clear. Every pre-clear that you've had difficulty with, every person who has ever blown a course, every person who has ever blown a session, did so because they had something to hide. And until those somethings are cleared up, they will never be clear. And if we were a religious organization going to town on the sin of man, we would at this moment have it made. We could convince with what violence, with what brimstone, that you sinners had better come clean. Or hellfire and damnation was going to be your lot. Man, we'd have it made. Fortunately, we're not. So we can get something done. The greatest overt act in the world is making other people guilty of overt acts. That is the greatest overt act in the world, about which more later. So don't think at this moment that I'm trying to make you guilty of overt acts. The only thing I'm trying to do to you is get you clear. That's all I've got in mind. And that's why no resistance, no attack for 10 years has been able to get anywhere on Dianetics and Scientology. Because, basically, as far as the subject is concerned, there was nothing to hide. That's why we're still alive. Oh, that doesn't say that I have told you all. That doesn't say that there weren't times when I could have slipped you some hot dope concerning me or conditions or organizational wiggle-waggles in efforts to stay alive. And that doesn't say that I myself am not guilty occasionally of withholding something from you, because I am guilty of withholding quite a bit from you. But what I am withholding from you, basically, is how rough it's been. I've tried to keep a good public presence going. That's very often been very rough. And that I've withheld. But as far as any deep-seated, cross-purposed, tangled-up pitch, no, we had nothing to hide there. For instance, I could tell you a lot about me. I could tell you a lot about my whole track. And some of it, the psychiatrist would at once start saying, "You see, we told you." "We told you so." He believes he's... But I'm not that one. I just set that one up. But as far as anything withheld on the standpoint of our goals, as far as any errors along the line that had to do with technology, as far as data or anything else that could make anybody better or clear or make a better civilization. That's never been withheld, and it's never been an overt act. Therefore, we're still here. And that, incidentally, is the only reason we're still here. Because don't think, with as much shotgunning as there's been, that we would have survived it else. Now, where a case left your session and told you that you were a very bad auditor, and told you that you shouldn't have been doing it, there was enough truth in the matter for you to say, yes, he's right, I'm not as good an auditor as I could be. My TR4 stinks. So therefore, he is justified in what he is saying, and therefore, I will let him go and go back to school and learn how to do it a little bit better. Or maybe I won't audit quite so much. Or maybe I'll audit only easy cases or some other such thing. And there were lots of reasons, reason, why he should have blown session. But there was a reason that underlay all those other reasons. And that underlying reason added up entirely and completely to just one reason. As a person, he had something to hide. Something he didn't dare let you know about, he felt. Now, in that, the preclear made a tremendous mistake. Of all the peoples of Earth, of all the groups of Earth, the one least likely to mess somebody up because they found out something about him was a Dianeticist or Scientologist. These people have my confidence and have had my confidence for 10 years. So therefore, it must have been pretty bad if he couldn't even tell us about it. It must have been pretty bad. But a lot of these things are like the microbe seen through a number of magnifying lenses. And the fellow said, I did so and so, and then he puts a big lens over the top of it, and he looks at it. My God, that microbe looks big. And then he thinks, well, I actually shouldn't tell anybody really about this, and somehow or another, I will get along without having done so. And that will be smart of me, because I will get by anyway, and then someday I will be clear enough, maybe, to just as is the whole thing. And the moment that he did that, he took another great big magnifying glass and put it on top of the stock. And now he looked at this microbe, you know. Microbe's about that long by now, you know. Has hair. Teeth. And he said, well, I'm a pretty bad fellow, but I'll fool them all. I'll fool them all, and I'll get auditing in spite of this, and I'll go on and do good, and I will do enough good that it won't matter. And of course, that time you got this great big magnifying glass, put over here, clank. And the microbe was now much bigger than he was. Everywhere he looked, he could see the microbe. One of these fine days, you're going to get hold of that fella.
You're going to take this little microbe hunter this evening, huh? You're going to put them on the cans and you're going to find that microbe that diseased his character. He's going to say, oh, no, there's nothing there. No, that's me breathing. I can very often control the needle because I'm really O.T. And whenever you say women and it dives, that's emotional response because I like them. But you're not going to be fooled now. You're going to reach under all these magnifying glasses. You're going to pull this thing out and dump it in the carbolic acid. And that'll be the end of that man's case. He won't blow sessions anymore. You just sit there and go right on straight through till clear. That's the way it is. The worst case has the most overts and withholds on all dynamics. Let me call something to your attention. Only those cases which did not advance at all one iota, never recovered anything, never got better in any way, shape, or form, harmed us. They were the people who chopped us up. Why didn't they ever advance? Look at the penalty these people were paying to never get out of the mud at all. Ah, what a pathetic thing. And no Dianeticist or Scientologist would keep them in the mud. And if we'd just known the value of this data that I'm giving you, if we'd just known that this was at the bottom of all of that, how easy it would have been. But as poor old Joe Winter, who went this route, once said, what wonderful 6-foot rear view mirrors we have with a little tiny peephole in front. But that's the history of the failed case. That's the history of the failed student. And that's the history of the enemy of Dianetics and Scientology. He is our enemy because at any time in the last 10 years, we had the ability to find out. And only those people are against us who have something to hide. And this is not an opinionated political datum. It's cast iron technology. And for dramatic purposes, lends itself extremely well. But it is simply cold-blooded, advanced Scientology and nothing else. That a case that has something to hide will run. Find some excuse to run. And then we'll sit and jabber, jabber, jabber about how bad you are or we are. And that case dramatizes what's wrong with the case, which is to say, overt acts against the various dynamics. And we'll dramatize it by saying there's something wrong with the audit, there's something wrong with Scientology, there's something wrong with the way it is, there's something wrong. Well, we're not perfect. But we're not trying to hide anything. I took such a case, and because he had done something to the organization, I didn't restrain myself from being punitive.
I have a well-grooved pattern on being punitive, as lots of people have. You know, that people do something, you're supposed to do something to them, you know, and it's just my standpoint, the guy elects himself a victim, so I say, well, all right, you're a victim. But this fellow said, this was bad, and that was bad, and the other thing was bad in his immediate area, and it was all bad, bad, bad in his immediate area. And I said, then why haven't you done something about it? And he says, well, I couldn't, not in the position I was in. I was in the position, I was a junior position, I was... wasn't anybody, any place, the whole organization, and I couldn't send anything to anybody. I said, well, why haven't you done something about it? He says, but... boom! We haven't seen him since. Because any Thetan has the potentiality of doing anything to correct anything anywhere. And he knows it. And what he does every day is the sin of omission, in that he doesn't straighten it all out. And that, any case, no matter how honest, is living with at this moment. Now, if you can stand truth, you live. And if you can't stand truth, you won't. And the dead ones of this planet who were walking around zombie-like in the dark shadows and slippery alleys of the world can't stand truth. And there's been an operation here on Earth which has totally dedicated itself to making truth about yourself totally unpalatable. Now, I won't mention any names and never do mention this particular organization. But its specialty is 100% making you guilty of an overt act. It tells you what sin is. Out of what black morass do they tell you what sin is? If they'd used a handkerchief more often, their own noses would be clean enough to tell you what sin is. One of these days, we're going to have a collection fund. We're going to get it together to buy handkerchiefs for this organization so they can have clean enough noses to tell the rest of us what overt acts are. Sound like a good project? Now, I don't mean to be necessarily hard upon your bank. But the last few thousand, few hundred thousand, few million, few billion years have been kind to the bank, period. And now I think we can afford a new slogan. Because be kind to the bank hasn't worked. And use the bank to control hasn't worked. So our slogan here for a number of years has been a mathematical formula which says no bank equals people. Works too. But how do you get no bank? How do you take the Freudian unconscious, reconscious, deconscious, unconscious, and unconscialize it? How do you pick the id out of the lib? How do you get rid of the reactive mind? How do you scotch and scrap off, wipe out and erase the facsimiles of engrams which bedevil man's days and nights? How do you do this? Well, for 10 years, we've had a lot of technology. For 10 years, we've been able to do a lot about it. I don't think there's very much phenomena left in the bank that we haven't discovered, one way or the other, one time or another. Phenomena that we haven't looked at is practically non-extant. But what held it in place? Why did it continue to stay there? Why, with all of our hard work, did we still have people being uncleared? What reward was this for the labors we invested as auditors? To have somebody sitting there still going, nah. Well, why did it happen? Why did it happen? Why did we still have aberrees when we should have had clears? Well, I'll tell you something. This phenomenon has been running alongside of my auditing for a very long time, and I've just been sufficiently unobservant to see it until recently. I was auditing a fellow in the, as you'll hear on one of the tapes, if you ever hear the tapes of the Melbourne ACC. I'm auditing this fellow in an auditing demonstration. I say, all right, tell me something that you could let me know, or think of something you could let me know. Now, think of something you could withhold from me. And he answered this several times very glibly. Pock-a-pock, yes, I could withhold that. All of a sudden, he says, you know, withhold from you? You know, that takes some doing. That was probably the only reason my auditing was faster than other people's. Matter of altitude or something like this, the person couldn't withhold things from me. That was why people got clear, and I never paid any attention to the fact. I just thought they told everybody these things, you know? But I used to get more Freudian traumas dumped in my lap about their sexual irregularities when they were 3. You know, it's really amazing to have a fellow who devoted his entire life to exploring sexual irregularities at the age of 3. I'm glad that he did, because he gave us some dope and left a tremendous area with some knowns in it instead of totally unknown. But nevertheless, now that you look back on it, it's awfully hard to be sexually irregular when you're 3. I apologize to those younger Thetans that are in our midst here for making a crack about it. But wherever a PC sits down and starts telling you all you have to do is listen. Well, that doesn't say necessarily that they have to tell you everything they ever did and all the crimes they've ever committed and all the irregularities they have ever gone through in order to get clear. That doesn't tell you that. But it tells you that those fellows that don't make very much progress in auditing, or that the auditing is slow on, it tells you that those people are sitting on one that would blow the head off the Purity League very easily. And you realize, of course, that most Purity Leagues are very hardened people. Now, the person who makes no advance at all, who never gets any place at all, oh, no. I'll have to let you in on this. Amongst us Scientologists, I'll just have to let you in on this. The person is guilty of a crime for which they could be jailed or punished in this lifetime if it were divulged. Now, when you get into that level, you've had it. In other words, he robbed a bank or something. But the crime is serious. And the person could be arrested for it or punished for it in present time if it were revealed. And this fellow, by the commission of that crime, trapped himself as far as auditing was concerned, unless he actually does straighten it out one way or the other and get it cleared up. Because his case isn't going to move that far until he does. For 10 years we've seen this phenomena. And we wondered what it was all about. We wondered why we couldn't audit anything on this fellow.
He just, you know, says there, you know. Yes, he'd say, yes. And you'd say, double match terminal, a couple of dogs now. He would. Yes, he'd say, yes.
End of session, come along. How do you feel?
Oh, I feel terrible, thank you. That's it.
Why? Well, we already know the technology. He's auditing across a present-time problem. And it comes under the heading of the technology which we already have, which is a present-time problem, or an ARC break. Now, he can't go into two-way communication with the auditor, so he never goes into session. He's never in session, because he can't be in two-way communication. And he can't take his attention off of what his attention is fixedly on and put it on any other part of the bank, because he has a present-time problem all the time. Whether he realizes it or not, he doesn't know it, he just kind of knows it, you know. And his attention is always fixedly on this thing, but it's the one thing that he can't reveal, which makes a total plug to any auditing happening. And there it is. And it just locks him up just as nice as though they'd thrown him in jail. I can tell you something. It'd be better off to be in jail than would never have Scientology work. Wouldn't it? Because that means you're going to be in jail from here on out. Locked up in a ready head with no freedom and no power. I tell you, that's a sentence, isn't it? Not even until death do us part. But forever and ever and ever, as long as ye shall erg. That's how long. Fellow's passed sentence on himself already. But that doesn't give him any right to give the auditor the bad time that he gives an auditor, does it? Because he now blames the auditor for what he himself won't divulge. And he says it's the auditor's fault. Well, basically, technologically, it has been our collective fault for not getting our cotton-picking fingers deeper into his cotton-picking reactive bank with one of these things. Now, these things are now available, actually are manufactured on every continent. Nice gimmick. And they'll tell you what the score is. And they'll go for broke. And there's things now, there's, by the way, a new booklet on this, a new electrometer booklet, and I'm going to give you addenda to that booklet right here in this Congress concerning the functions of this year particular gimmick a hoojit with the electronic whistle bubs. There's a lot of things to know about this thing. And one of them is that the person who has the greatest crimes has the least responsibility on all dynamics. And at first, registers the least on a meter. The meter only registers those things he still has some slight responsibility for. So there's ways and means of walking around a case on one of these meters we didn't know about before. And the greatest condemnation, you might say, of a case is that it didn't react on a meter. Case didn't react very much on a meter, well, the auditor knows where to go from there. Another thing is, I'll tell you more about it later, but the needle is not as important as the motion of the tone arm. The motion of the tone arm is a better detector than the needle. Interesting, huh? Now, of course, this machine here, you young sprouts that are in the audience will probably live in a civilization where to get a job you have to be checked out on an electrometer. And where they won't have unreasonable and destructive revolutions for the excellent reason that most of the criminals are missing out of the society. Now look, there are a lot of people in the society, quote, doing good or trying to change the society because they themselves owe a debt to society which they are trying to pay in an oblique way. I'll tell you something very funny. That is simply a compulsion that never gets any place. All of us owe a debt to society as far as that goes. We owe our services on all dynamics. But when we have to give them under compulsion, they don't work very well. So this idea of the fellow is trying to do good because he has been so bad generally winds up with us all in the soup. Funny part of it is he'll do 10 times as much good, 1,000 times as much good, if he himself doesn't have to do any good at all. Quite remarkable. So there's no reason for this mechanism beyond the fact that certain individuals individuate and fall away in the society, fall away from the dynamics to such a degree that they become something else than human, become something else that isn't alive, that's sort of a synthetic something that crawls through life and tries to get along. When you try to audit a person who is guilty of too many overt acts, he makes no progress. When you audit a person who has a few, he had better not say, he makes slow progress and is once in a while a little blowy. Once in a while tries to leave. Once in a while tries to get out of school or get out of a session. And we've long since known that when we got somebody with hardly any up the line, he'd tell us those. It's an old HGC phenomenon. The fellow comes in and he says, and he goes out saying, "Witch." Tell anybody you want. Get the idea. I mean, he had a change. Well, we knew that. But the reverse was actually what we were looking for. We were looking for the fellow who was doing this, you see, to find the fellow who was causing any trouble. To find the fellow who wasn't doing constructive things, to find the fellow who wasn't getting the show on the road. That was the destructive person. You are looking here, and we will go into it much more later. But you are looking here at something that has very far-reaching ramifications, something that goes out across a great many future millennia. You're looking at something here which has meaning. It only takes one cognition on anybody's part to just go for broke and make it true. A world without criminals. A world of effective people. Well, the only cognition you have to is it isn't necessary to have overt act motivator sequence as part of the game. The second you have a subjective reality on that, you just drop the rest of it as though it's hot chestnuts. As a matter of fact, the overt act motivator sequence game, you're guilty, we'll punish you, I'm guilty, you punish me, I'm a victim, therefore you've done so-and-so, you're a victim, therefore I've done so-and-so. This isn't even vaguely necessary to any enjoyment of life or any game of any fun. You just look it over and you'll find out that all the games you've enjoyed had nothing to do with the overt act motivator sequence. Very funny. It's the overt act motivator sequence which puts the end to all games. Doing things to people and having to punish them and be punished by them and all of this sort of thing is a sort of a sordid last-ditch activity which people hope somebody will mistake for a game. But that's about as far as they get with it. They really don't have a game at that level. So it actually is antiquated. There's many things you can do without going into that. Now, if these statements of mine have upset anybody, I am truly sorry. For their case. For instance, there was a little girl who wasn't making very much progress. She was a civilian from out in town. She wasn't a Scientologist. And she wasn't making very much progress. And I noticed her face was getting sort of sunken and she was getting a little bit haggard under auditing and was really going along with it all right, but somehow or another it wasn't quite getting much benefit from auditing. And so forth. So I sat down at her desk the other day, and I said, you know, girls do a lot of things in life. They think they're all very reprehensible. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be a bit surprised by what you don't think that you've done something that Dr. Hubbard heard about, he'd sack you. I said, well, the funny part of it is, I said, I don't think you could do anything that bad. Next time you're audited, why don't you tell your auditor all about it? So she did, and her case went zoom. It was very reprehensible. Something on the second dynamic at the age of 8. Pretty bad, you know. But she was sitting on a big withhold. Now, a person's overts and withholds on any or all dynamics are the only reason their cases stay bogged. And it gets back to the definition of operating Thetan, which is willing and knowing cause over matter, energy, space, time, form, and of course, thought and postulates. Operating Thetan. The horrible thing we have to face up to if we're going to get any place is we done it. And I'll talk to you later about responsibility. We're actually not trying to hang people left and right with this thing called responsibility. But we are saying just this, and I am telling you just this. True recovery of one's beingness goes along with one's realization that he has been the cause of any difficulty he has ever had. And that's an awful tough bullet. That's so tough that you probably won't make it for hundreds of hours of auditing. It's all very well for you to step up very happily, you know, and say, well, that's right, Ron says that, and there's nothing to it, and I'll get down here in the audit chair, and I'll sit here. Ah. Now, what can I be responsible for? I can be responsible for all the difficulties I've ever had. The auditor says, well, all right, well, just tell me one you could be responsible for. Well, I could be responsible for, No, I couldn't be responsible for that difficulty at school. That was her fault. And there derails that set of flat cars right off into the woods. Oh, we got lots of them. Lots of things we're not willing to take responsibility for, but it isn't responsibility we're trying to hang people with. We've got lots of them. And right away, glibly, we say, "Was that all it takes to be clear? Who'll listen to me? Who'll listen to me? Listen, I..." "I'm willing to take responsibility for everything. I caused all of my own difficulties. Boy, I was going, boom." And you collapse on that point. Now, the point I'm trying to make is simply this. That the state of clear is the state of being admitted cause on all dynamics. And you have been, but you haven't admitted it. And that's the auditor's job to get you to. Thank you.